Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari. Happy Friday. I'm here with your host, Matt Humans, and we have Aaron Rinning in the studio as well, and Scott Kellen. It must be Friday, right? This is your starting five tonight. We have World Series Game 3, Dodgers-Rays. The Dodgers are the favorite yet again. Consensus at minus 145. The Rays are plus 135. We've seen two games now. What have we learned so far about this matchup?
I think we've learned it's going to be a long series. I mean, the Rays have, I think, slightly better starting pitching and a better bullpen. And their offense has, woken up a little bit, you know, especially in game two.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dodgers are more talented offensively, and they hit right-handers very well. And the Rays are going to throw a right-hander again tonight in Charlie Morton. I still like the Rays' chances in a long series, but I'm not going to play tonight's game. And if I did, I would actually lean to the Dodgers, believe it or not.
What about you, Aaron?
I'm not involved in this game, but I agree. I mean, Matt kind of hit on a lot of the points I mentioned. To me, it's a bit of a key game here. I mean, if the Rays lose this one with Morton, who's been very good in the postseason, if they go down here 2-1, as you mentioned, the Dodgers, the more talented team, could get very tough for them on the rest of the way.
What about the total, the overhit in the first two games? The total is set at 7.5 tonight at BetMGM. 82% of the money, 62% of the total handle on the over tonight. You guys like over or under?
Understand why people are betting overs. You know,
sure.
The first game had 11 runs. The second game had 10 runs. So obviously I think more people are going to want to bet over the total. I would expect in a Walker Buehler, Charlie Morton matchup that you're going to have a lower scoring game. But that said, like I said, the Dodgers numbers are very good against right-handed pitchers. And Charlie Morton in the postseason with a whip under one and an ERA of 0.57, he's not really been hit. But then again, the Dodgers are a different challenge. So I'm not going to play the total tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I played the Rays plus 185 in the series, and I bet the Rays in game two. Those are the only bets I've had so far.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at those numbers on the screen. A little bit tricky to bet over with those two starting pitchers.
All right, I got a new game show for you today, Matt. We're going to look at the – I know you do. I got a new one for you every day. Worst teams against the spread. This one is called Cash or Trash, meaning is this ticket going to cash or does it belong in the trash? Starting with the Falcons, they're 2-4 against the spread. They have the Lions this week, and they are the 2.5-point favorites. Is a ticket on the Falcons this week going to cash or does it belong in the trash?
Well, I liked the Falcons last week, the first game after the coaching change, which is an angle I like to play. This week, this entire matchup, I would like to trash. So I'm not going to bet this game.
Aaron?
I'm being proactive. I'm coming back with Atlanta again. Played them small last week. And I certainly don't mind going against Detroit. Not impressed that they were able, off a bye week, prepared and ready to beat Jacksonville. It'll be a lot tougher this week. I got a big ticket. I got a big bet here on Atlanta this week.
All right, what about the Jaguars? Also 2-4 against the spread. They're the 7.5-point underdogs versus the Chargers this week. Ticket on the Jags, cash or trash?
I'm gonna trash that one because the Jags have the Jags really have no pass rush left. And I think Justin Herbert's going to get his first win at quarterback for the Chargers here. They are 1-4. They have not won since Tyrod Taylor in the opening week against the Bengals. The one problem I have here is I would probably, if you play teasers, I'd probably put the Chargers on a teaser because I've said this 1,000 times. The Chargers are pretty good in the underdog role. You cannot trust the Chargers laying points. And for that reason, I'd probably try to knock this down to -2 if you play teasers in the NFL. Otherwise, Danielle, I am not on this game.
Matt, well put. I mean, for the Chargers to be laying over a touchdown, I'm certainly not comfortable with that. So this is a pass, not a cash or a trash.
All right, you're going outside the rules, but I'll allow it.
You have to have a third option, pass. Can we have cash, trash, or pass?
No. I like when you guys pick. All right. So Texans 1-5 against the spread. Just getting worse as we go down the line here. The Texans face the Packers as 3.5-point dogs. Cash or trash on the Texans this weekend?
This is a tough one. Like you said, since you gave us another option, I'm going to go pass. I like a high-scoring game here. This Texans defense is tired. We saw it last week. Romeo Crennel knew his D couldn't get a stop late in the game at Tennessee. The Titans go down the field twice and win the game by 6 in overtime. I have a slight lean to the Texans. Packers have a lot of injury problems. So I guess put me down for cash if I have to pick a side.
Aaron, quickly, cash or trash?
It'll be trash for me.
Trash. All right, we got more My Guys. Stick with us coming up right now. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Happy Friday. I'm Danielle Alvari here with your host, Matt Eumanns, Aaron Ridding, and Scott Kellen will be joining us shortly. Matt?
All right. Thank you. Also in the show today, we have Brad Powers, college football handicapper, is going to be on with us at 2:45 p.m. Pacific. In the second hour today, James Alberino, you can follow him at Spread Investor on Twitter. He's going to be in to analyze some NFL games in studio. And Musburger and the Mad Dog go head-to-head with their NFL best bets in hour number two. And VSIN Vinny takes the place of Musburger this week. Hopefully Brent has not been hanging out with Trent Brown and the Raiders offensive lineman. Let's get to Thursday night football. Eagles 22, Giants 21, an NFC East classic last night. Daniel Jones falls over himself on an apparent 80-yard touchdown run. The Giants find a way to cough up the lead. How about this from NFL on CBS? Teams this season are now 56-3, went up 10 or more points with less than 5 minutes to go. The Giants added their name to that list last night with the Falcons and the Lions. Giants, Falcons, and Lions, only losses in that situation after last night's game. Eagles get a win they really need to have, and they are now the first place Eagles, 2-4-1 in the NFC.
Matt, it seems like we get these matchups in the NFL. Obviously, as the season goes on, you get them more, but it's not who's going to win, but who's going to lose. And last night, it was Joe Judge and the New York Giants losing that game, I would say, more than the Eagles winning.
Big drop by Evan Engram. I thought Daniel Jones threw a pretty good pass down the sideline. Engram dropped it, goes off his hands. The Eagles rally from 11 points down to get that win 22-21. Teams like the Giants find ways to lose. Like you said, the Eagles kind of had that one handed to them last night. I thought Carson Wentz, for the most part, played well. I know the Twitter critics were out to crush him last night. 25 for 43, 359 yards, three total touchdowns, including one on the ground, and a bad pick. But he's out there trying to make plays. Sometimes he forces throws. And he just doesn't have a lot of weapons around him right now. Last night, the Eagles were five-point favorites, so the underdog cashed there. Randy McKay, the most popular man in North Dakota, told me last night he was big on the Giants plus the points. How about this game staying under the total of 44.5 or 45 with the two-point conversion? A couple of things about the Eagles to mention, Scott. On a fourth down situation in the fourth quarter, they throw the fade pass to the corner. I hate that play.
Low percentage, right?
It is a low percentage play. It drives me crazy. And then the two-point conversion play, the run to Wentz. That's Doug Peterson's play calling sometimes in game management leave a lot to be desired.
Well, first of all, I think the Giants would have been better off with Davy Jones from the Monkees running that. As Jimmy would say, Google it, look it up, kids. But I agree. And, you know, you always talk about, like, hey, should they go for two or not? Let's just assume the two-point conversion is a 50% proposition. It's not 50% for every team, right? There are some teams who are horrible, have no creativity at all. Peterson, I thought, would have more creativity. The low percentage pass in the corner, the run, they should have just had a fullback behind Wentz and just quarterback sneak it and got some push, right? I mean, that would have been a lot better. I know it's always easier to say that after the fact, but I was shocked by the lack of creativity on some of those.
That last TD throw by Carson Wentz was a beautiful throw. That's what sometimes yes. When you rip the guy, you say, wow, there's that talent Carson Wentz has again. What's up?
Where would that team be without Wentz right now? Remember that game against San Francisco? I mean, he scrambled away from defenders the whole night. I mean, he has willed that team to... Well, I guess two wins, but right, so.
They're 2-4-1. Scott, I have no idea where they'd be without Wentz. How about 0-7?
Hey, they wouldn't be in first place, right?
Maybe they would not be in first place. So anyway, the underdog and the under on Thursday Night Football. We'll break down the rest of the Week 7 rotation here in a minute. A couple other notes to mention. Baseball tonight, World Series Game 3 at the South Point. L.A. Dodgers minus 145, total of 7.5. Rays get on the board with a win in game two, 6-4. Blake Snell in game two went 4 2/3 innings. I liked him in that spot. I like Charlie Morton too, but the Dodgers hit right-handers a lot better. I'm probably not going to play this game tonight. I think it's priced right, Aaron Renning, minus 145. Did you play anything here?
No action for me. As you mentioned, I mean, you know, Morton, it's interesting because, you know, it seems like his stuff has diminished a little bit, but he still knows how to get out and goes well. As you mentioned, certainly a tougher task against this Dodger lineup that can kind of match up with him. So it's just kind of, you can make pros and cons here with Morton tonight.
All right, on to golf briefly. Tiger Woods returned at the Zozo Championship at Sherwood Country Club in Thousand Oaks, California. a poor first round, 76. Didn't want to talk about it. He comes back today, and he is 3 under on the front nine, 1 over for the tournament, but he's also 4 strokes out of last place. So we got the Masters right around the corner, and Tiger trying to get into form before the return to Augusta. Justin Thomas, the leader right now, at 14 under par. Jeff Sherman tweeted this out from the Westgate Superbook. Tiger was 4 over in the first round. I still find this hard to believe. He was number 2 in ticket count behind Colin Morikawa, and number 1 in money wagered at the Superbook. Wow. Opened 40-1, closed 35-1. I'm really not sure why bettors are still drawn to Tiger Woods like that. That was the case right in this tournament this week. There's some noise coming from somewhere. It's not my laptop. Is that you, Scott?
It's me.
All right, so how about this bad beat last night? I saw this on Twitter. A better, I think it was at BetMGM Books, played the Eagles in the first half, -3 for $250,000.
Right.
Elliott missed a 29-yard field goal right before the half.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take you to get over something like that when a guy misses an extra point on a $250,000? You still push, but you don't get to win.
I turned away. I just figured he'd make it. Yeah. I turned back to the debate for a second, came back. Yeah, right.
All right, let's get on with the Week 7 rundown. And start with Cincinnati hosting Cleveland. And the Browns obviously beat up last week at Pittsburgh. And Baker Mayfield beat up as well. Will they bounce back this week? This number is 3 or 3.5, depending where you shop. Right now at the Westgate, 3.5. Same at Circa and the South Point, total of 50.5. Scott, I'll let you kick it off here today. Browns at Bengals in the battle for Ohio.
I like Cleveland here, Matt. I did play it at -3. I would not go over 3, but I think this is a good matchup. You remember back when they played on Thursday night, I think that was Week 2. I think Cleveland outgained them by about 3.5 yards per play, and Cincinnati got a backdoor cover, but they were completely outplayed in that game. And this week you got Cleveland coming in. They average 170 yards rushing a game at 5.2 yards a rush. Cincinnati's giving up 142 yards a game, 5.1 yards a rush. Cincinnati, for me, in a pretty bad situation. Bad teams coming home after a couple road games. That's typically not a good situation for those teams. They typically fail in that. And Browns this year, 3-0 versus sub-500 teams. They've won every one of those games by 5 or more. I just think this is a better... They're a much better team, and you know, you guys said it last week where Baker was going to be in trouble because he was going to get pressure from the Steelers. I don't see that same pressure, and if he's not under pressure, they can run the ball, and he can just throw when he wants to, play action. He's a much better quarterback in those scenarios.
Bengals got in the back door in the first meeting, 5.5 or 6-point dogs, 35-30 loss at Cleveland. That was in Week 2, ER.
I agree with Scott. I'm on Cleveland for a pretty good-sized bet here. As Scott mentioned, the Browns dominated that first game, certainly more than the 35-30 score would indicate. It was 7.5 yards per play to 4 yards per play. Again, Scott mentioned the pressure last week for Baker Mayfield against that Pittsburgh defense. Very tough. And, you know, Week 1, it was that Baltimore defense that he was not able to react. But with that said, Cincinnati depends on what metrics you look at, 28th to dead last in the NFL as far as pressuring the quarterback. And, you know, you see the Cincinnati team, you don't know exactly where the chemistry is. Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlop, the two highest played defensive players. Lack of snaps. They needed to put pressure on, you know, Phillip Rivers passed for 370 yards against this team last week, and he didn't look like he'd be able to throw against 300 against anybody.
Right.
And Cincinnati's going to be down Will Jackson, their best cornerback, and this one Joe Mixon's not going to play. So, yeah, seems like a clear bet for me on the Browns.
All right. I had a pretty good Week 6, but I was dead wrong on the Cowboys Monday night. Zeke Elliott cops up a couple fumbles. You had Michael Gallup drop a TD pass. You had Andy Dalton throw a pick on what should have been a pass interference call that wasn't called. You had Mike McCarthy trotting out the kicker for a 58-yard field goal try down 21-3. Just a comedy of errors by the Cowboys. It was a disaster in Dallas. This line was 3 or 3.5, and now it's pick 'em. Cowboys at Washington. Scott, how do you see it?
Boy, I don't know, Matt. you know, something's going to give here. So Washington has scored 20 or less every game since Week 1. Cowboys have given up 34 or more in every game since Week 1. Someone's going to win that battle. You know, last week I said, you know, I don't think they're going to miss Andy Dalton that much. I mean, Prescott's obviously more mobile than Dalton. And I don't know that Dalton playing bad last week was Dalton as much as just that offensive line is a mess. And if they don't get that fixed, Washington could wreak havoc on them from that standpoint. Yeah. I kind of made this game somewhere close to a pick 'em just with year-to-date numbers, which obviously Dallas is nowhere near their year-to-date numbers if this offense continues to struggle. So I would lean Washington here. I didn't play the game, but I would probably take Washington or nothing.
You're right. Cowboys had their B-team offensive line last week, and that wasn't talked about enough. But that I don't think it was about Dalton and the drop off from Dak to Dalton. There were a lot of other problems the Cowboys had. What do you see, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, I wouldn't even say B. I mean, this is your D or F squad as far as, you know, Zach Martin's going to be out for this game as well. And if you look at some of the, I was actually surprised that the Dallas Cowboys lead the NFL as far as rookie offensive snaps. You have two rookie starters on the offensive line, obviously CD Lamb in there as well. I mean, so this is not even close to the offense that we saw at the beginning, the first couple weeks of the season. And, you know, Scott, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if it makes any sense, but, you know, maybe there's a theory here with the backup quarterbacks. You know, you didn't have training camp. You mm-hmm. didn't have preseason games. These backup quarterbacks that have come in have not looked good. Obviously with Dallas, their situation, I think Dalton looked all that prepared. Obviously Flacco's been a disaster for the Jets, but even, you know, San Francisco, when they had to play their backup, the Patriots backups really struggled. So I don't know, but there could be something to when these backup quarterbacks have to play, but regardless, the Dallas Cowboys have a lot of problems. As mentioned, Zach Martin's out. I played this game under the total earlier this week, but that ship has really sailed. This total has come down.
You never know what can happen when two bad teams get together. We saw it last night with the Eagles and the Giants. Fortunately for Washington, they're getting great quarterback play from the backups.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to look
and you wouldn't think it, you know, you wouldn't think it could be worse, but it doesn't get a whole lot better either.
You would look to play this under 45.5?
Yeah, anything above 45 is probably still worth it here.
That Washington defensive front is going to be a big concern for the Dallas offensive line.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, Dallas has a 28th rated defense here, and Washington's a 7th rated defense. So that's probably maybe the difference in this game.
See if Dalton could take advantage of the Cowboys' playmakers on offense. When you look at Zeke Elliott, if he's not coughing up fumbles, you've got a Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, C.D. Lamb. The Cowboys should be able to put points on the board.
Well, Ilya, when I looked at that last week, I looked back to Dalton with Cincinnati, and when they had good offenses and his yards per play or yards per pass were very similar to Dak's, and I thought, okay, well, they're just going to kind of replace that. And that's why I say I think this is so much more on the offensive line. That they can just give him time, like you said, Matt. They've got guys out there, but he didn't have any time last week.
Yeah, I came away from that game. I thought he would be able to be better than it was.
What about Mike McCarthy? I know you weren't a big fan of that hire in the first place.
I'd be shocked if he makes it past year one almost. I mean, it is bad. I he's got a big ego. He's not, he's kind of lazy. He lied his way to get the interview. I mean, it's crazy.
All right. Aaron Renning was intrigued by this next game, so let's get to it before the break. Lions at Falcons. And Atlanta, a 2.5-point home favorite off its first win of the season at Minnesota, total of 55. Scott, go ahead and go first, Detroit, Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm opposite of ER here, but I played it at 3. I would not play it below 3. Obviously, it's below 3 now, 2.5. So you might play it in a teaser. I understand where ER is coming from, and I have some concerns. Trufant will be out for Detroit. That doesn't help. But Detroit has played everybody close this year other than the Green Bay game. They've been within 6 points, so at least from a teaser standpoint, they have a chance there. And Stafford 7-3 against the spread as a road dog since 2018, games that he started. So I think they have a chance. They played competitive on the road. I do worry a little bit because, my numbers supported Detroit a little bit here, but those numbers also, Julio Jones has not played every one of those games, and Atlanta does seem to be a little bit healthier now. They were hurt in the secondary. It's not as bad now. Obviously, they've got their offensive weapons back. I think the teaser is a better play here, especially at this current number.
You know, there's definitely been quite a bit of support for the Lions. I mean, this game was as high as 3.5, I think, earlier in the week, so a lot of money on the Lions. And, last week I did play Detroit. And, I always feel like you're kind of stealing when you can get one with Matt Patricia. But, for Detroit to have an extra week off, to go in and beat Jacksonville, not that big of a deal. Probably provides me some value, I think, this week. And I think you have to give the Falcons a little bit of credit that they did respond under Raheem Morris last week. And, you know, coaching, Matt, we've always kind of talked about it. It's a two-part thing. You know, you have your X and O's, but it's also, you know, how much percentage of it is motivating and getting 100% out of your players. Mm-hmm. And you clearly see Atlanta played a lot better game. They had a lot more energy. I think they were much closer to playing 100% of their game. Morris was able to get those guys motivated. If they can continue that, I think they can get, you know, they're aggressive on offense. Helps when you win that these guys can buy in and continue to play well.
I thought they would be better under Raheem Morris, obviously. But, you know, we've seen the Texans look like a different team since Bill O'Brien got fired and the Falcons with a big win last week in the first game under Morris. All right, quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. A lot more to come on today's show. Brad Power is going to be up in about 25 minutes to handicap college football. Also got James Alberino in studio to talk about NFL best bets in the second hour. And VSIN Vinny, Musburger, and the Mad Dog with their NFL best bets in the second hour. We come back with Panthers at Saints.
Welcome back. I'm Danielle Avari. This is the OddsTrader.com studio here at the South Point Sportsbook. Are you ready to be VIP? DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSIN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with the promo code VSIN to claim your exclusive offer. That's VSIN. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here with Matt Eumanns, Aaron Rinning, and Scott Kellen.
All right, thanks, Danielle. She's got a fan club outside the studio today and a guy who's passing out free face shields. Scott's got one. Scott's going to put it on next segment and wear it during the show.
Cannot wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Panthers and Saints. New Orleans, a 7-point favorite, down from 7.5 at most books. You can still find that hook out there if you like the dog. Total of 50.5 or 51, Scott.
I'm on Carolina. I took him early in the week, plus 7.5. I was a little worried because I saw today, I think Rasul Douglas, one of their better corners, I think is in COVID, whatever, but I think he still has a chance to play here on Sunday, so hopefully he does. But then we find out Michael Thomas not playing. Mm. It kind of looked like that the last couple days anyway, and now we find out Emmanuel Sanders is not playing. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I like Carolina here. They've last 6 years they've played here, they've only lost one game by more than 3 points in the last 6 years. They've scored 31 or more in five of those six. So they've been very competitive. The Saints, as a favorite of more than 7, I know it's now down to 7, but 5-12 against the spread is a home favorite. And they've only got one win this year by more than 6 points. That was week one against Tampa. Brady kind of gave them that game. I think if Bridgewater doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Carolina is good enough with, you know, Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. They've been quality receivers for him this year. They can get some plays down the field. I like Carolina to stay within what I think is a fairly large number in this game.
Yeah, no, that's a good bet, Scott. I actually had bet this game over the total, but I got out of it this morning with the news that Michael Thomas mm-hmm. and Emmanuel Sanders are going to be out here for the Saints. And, you know, we kind of expect, you know, after the bye week here for the Saints to see what we perhaps thought we would to start the season. And perhaps, the best team in the NFC. But, you know, once again, Thomas out, Sanders out. They do get a little bit healthier. Davenport played, you know, 20-some snaps in that last game. Certainly going to help their pass rush. And, you know, this New Orleans defense has not been very good. In the red zone, they've allowed 17 to 20 touchdowns. The secondary, the cornerbacks haven't played that well. Interested to see if they'll turn it around here. But, you know, Scott mentioned some things. I think this Panthers offense still has room to grow. So, again, this was a pass for me.
What about the dog side, ER? Did you take a look at this? So you got to think the Saints are going to have some problems here with no Michael Thomas and no mm-hmm. Emmanuel Sanders, who's out with COVID-19, by the way.
Yeah, no, again, it's I kind of thought the Saints would come and maybe perform their best game of the season with a healthy team that they haven't had throughout the campaign. I mean, this Carolina defense, the most rookie snaps in the NFL on defense so far, very young, I think can be had to a degree. But, yeah, without their two weapons. So I didn't really have much of an idea on the side coming into it.
Okay. Follow him on Twitter at ERSports1. That's Aaron Renning. And Scott Kellen at Sixth Sense NFL. Scott, you're sitting next to a guy who loves to take points with the Jets. This week, the number has dropped. At the Westgate right now, the Bills are 10-point favorites at the Jets. Circa 10.5, South Point 11. Total of 46, Buffalo at the New York Jets.
I haven't played it, Matt. I probably won't now that it's down to 10. I was going to maybe take a flyer on the Jets, but I missed that even at 11. I maybe would have taken a small bet on them. I made the number like 8.7, so I think there's a little value there. But it looks like Darnold will start. That's an upgrade over Flacco. At least the guy can move, and he can throw the ball a little bit better. They're getting some of their receivers
even if he
back.
Can't lift his arm over his head, it's
yeah,
an upgrade.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And Buffalo's got some injuries here. The other stat I was looking at, I found kind of interesting. Since McDermott's been there, the Bills are 4-1 over as a road favorite. They've scored 28 or more in four of those five games. Only game they didn't was a couple weeks ago when they scored 16 at Tennessee, and that was just a turnover fiasco for them. So I could possibly see a little higher scoring game here. It's a relatively low number. I would take Jets if anything, but I'm not playing the game, I don't think.
Yeah, I was. I did bet the Jets. Had a big bet on the Jets last week, Matt. And after you bet that and you lose like that, it's hard to come back with them. And I thought the Jets were in a decent situation last week. It did not happen. And I thought Flacco. I didn't think there would see the regression from the Jets, but maybe you do here because Joe Flacco couldn't get grade school kids motivated for recess, let alone the Jets offense.
He couldn't motivate a cat to chase a mouse. After you make a bet like that, do you look in the mirror and say, what the hell was I thinking, betting on Joe Flacco, Adam Gase, and Greg Williams?
A little bit, yeah.
Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More NFL handicapping here on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. With the NFL in full swing and MLB playoffs underway, it's time for you to get into Quick Picks, the easy-to-play daily parlay game that delivers huge payouts. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100, and you can use PayPal so you can be confident that it's secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. This is the first week of a full college football schedule, and we've updated the VSiN college football betting guide, including all the teams from the Big Ten, the MAC, and the Pac-12. Get the guide plus everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides, 24/7 live video stream, daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show, host, and guest, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews. Get in the game. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Here's Matt Eumanns, Aaron Renning, and Scott Kellen.
All kinds of college football and NFL betting content up there on the website this weekend, vsin.com. Also, check out the podcast. Several quality podcasts up there on football betting this weekend. Let's get back to it with Scott Kellen and Aaron Renning here on My Guys in the Desert. A lot more to get through today. Let's go next on the rotation to, we're going to go to Kansas City at Denver. That's the next game. I think, we're going to throw you a curveball a little bit here, Scott. We've got James Alberino coming in second hour, and he wants to talk about some different games, so I'm going to change it up a little bit. Let's go to Kansas City at Denver, 471, 472. Chiefs now 8 or 8.5 point favorites, total of 44-45.
I think there's some value on Denver, Matt. I don't know if I'll play the side, but I did play the under. I played it under 47, which I know is long gone, but I still think even at 44.5, there's still some potential value here. There's going to be a bunch of snow in Denver. Mm-hmm. Sounds like temperatures could be in the high teens, maybe low 20s. Denver 9-2 under the last 11 as a home dog. Only one of those games have totaled more than 43 points, so they do tend to play under. I think Kansas City's defense is still underrated. Denver's offense, they're minus a lot of guys. They might get Noah Fant back this week, which will help, but they're still not a great offense. And I think, you know, just to comment, my numbers, first of all, pointed to the under, got a good situation on the under, and with the weather, I think the under is a very good play here.
Looks like you hit a home run off that curveball with that underplay. I mean, yeah, I mean, 2 to 3 inches of snow makes this one a little bit tricky because you don't know how it's going to affect. Certainly, you would think that Chiefs offense, although they seem to be very happy running the ball. And would they have 200 and some yards on the ground last week against Buffalo? Certainly tougher to do that here against Denver. I had actually bet Kansas City earlier the week. I'm still not that impressed with Denver. I mean, Denver, give them credit for going in, but that offense couldn't do nothing. I'm not sure Locke with that shoulder is still 100%. The Patriots hadn't really practiced for a couple of weeks, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that bet here because, you know, laying points here, you would expect a little bit more conservative offense from both of these teams. So certainly you look good with that under bet, Scott.
245 yards rushing for the Chiefs in that win at Buffalo. I think that's a high under Andy Reid to see the Chiefs get that type of production on the ground. That's without Le'Veon Bell, who wasn't even practicing last week. Drew Locke was 10 for 24 with 2 picks in the Broncos' win at New England. That was all about the Denver defense and the struggles of Cam Newton and that New England offensive line. We'll talk more about that game coming up. Up next is the game that's next on the rotation is Tampa Bay at Las Vegas. And the COVID issues with the Raiders are obvious. The offensive line was sent home. Jonathan Abram apparently is not going to be cleared in time to play. He's a star safety. Maybe some doubts. This game looks like it is going to be played early Sunday afternoon. It's been moved up to 4:05 p.m. Eastern time. It was going to be the Sunday night football game. Now it's... when it's reposted, what do you guys expect this to be? ER, is it going to be Tampa Bay minus 4, 4.5? What are we going to see here?
Well, they're really waiting a long time to repost these, so I'm not sure if this gets posted until Sunday. I don't know, again, what exactly happened here. I thought it would very simple. You kind of push this back to Monday or Tuesday. I think the Tampa Bay doesn't play till next Monday night. Mm-hmm. As well. So I'm a little bit surprised. It sounds like they could still activate a lot of these offensive linemen for the Raiders on Sunday, but if they don't, you know, how do you know that to be able to post this until Sunday? And they might, you know, they talked they wouldn't even have enough offensive linemen to play at this point.
I mean, I think Brown might be out. I think there's a higher probability of that, but I think the rest of them, you know, I don't even know those rules anymore, but I think if they test like negative twice or something.
Right, Sunday morning they could be activated.
Sunday morning, the offensive line, aside from Trent Brown, could be activated. I don't think we're going to see Trent Brown on the field, but I mean, it makes it very difficult to look at the Raiders in any sense at this point. Scott, what do you see here? Buccaneers off the big win over the Packers and going on the road here. Let's say laying 4 or 4.5. I'm just guessing that's going to be the number when it's reposted.
Well, you're right, Matt. I mean, it's hard, but let's assume everybody comes back other than Brown. I would look probably Raiders a little bit. Henry Ruggs has made a big difference in this offense. And he's averaging 2.60 yards per route run, which is very good. Their passing offense has actually been very good. But, you know, if I get that many points, I might take a little flyer on them. I did notice Arians with Tampa Bay, which just last 2 years or 1 year plus, 3-1 against the spread as a road favorite, all three wins by 17 or more points. So in theory, when they're the superior team, they're definitely taking care of business. They have allowed 20 or less points in all four of those games. Although, again, I think this Raider offense is pretty good, and Gruden seems to be pretty good when they're prepared. For me, it would probably be Vegas or nothing, but I don't know if I'll play the game.
Early in the week, I liked the Raiders. Mm-hmm. That was before all hell broke loose.
Right.
It's hard to like the Raiders at the current.
No, I agree. I would be interested in that side. But, again, yeah, this makes it tough with that offensive. You know, especially when you consider the caliber the Buccaneers defense, which might be the best in football. Mm-hmm. One thing I think to look for, you know, the Packers seemed like if they could have it back, they wish they would have tried to establish the run a little bit more against that defense. And the Raiders certainly would be more than happy to run the ball as much as possible here.
Tampa Bay scoring defense, I believe, number two in the NFL. Double checking that, but it's actually, I think Arizona's number two at this point. The top scoring defenses in the NFL, Baltimore number one, Arizona number two. Tampa Bay's in the top 10 at 20.3 points per game. That was more about Tampa Bay's defense than it was Tom Brady last week.
Yeah, and by the way, just on that point you just made, Matt, you know, they're giving up, Tampa Bay's giving up some points this year through pick sixes, right? So yeah, that defense is probably actually better than what those numbers are even showing, obviously. And the rush defense is very good.
Number one in the NFL in rush defense. You are correct about that. Number one rush defense for the Buccaneers. Quick break. We come back. It's going to be Brad Powers, very sharp college football handicapper. We'll talk about Notre Dame, Pitt, Michigan, Minnesota, and his best bets for Saturday.
Welcome back. I'm Danielle Avari. If you like to place your bets just before the game, Bet Rivers Sportsbook is the perfect place for you. Go to Bet Rivers mobile app on any NFL game day and find 30% less vig on point spreads and point totals, which means more money in your pocket. As always, get great customer service and only one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Here's Matt Eumanns, Aaron Renning, and Scott Kellen.
All right, let's kick it out to Brad Powers, college football handicap at Brad Power 7. And Brad, it's great to see Big Ten football back, and it's under the Friday night lights. It's Illinois and Wisconsin. Badgers favored by 20.5, total of 51.5 tonight. And this one, this was the biggest upset in the Big Ten last season. The Illini 30-point home dogs knocked off Wisconsin, which probably was looking ahead to Ohio State the next week, 27-24 in Champaign. How do you see tonight's game between the Illini and the Badgers?
You know, I lean Wisconsin. You mentioned the revenge factor. That's not a huge deal for me. Where I think some of the mispricing is, I actually think Wisconsin upgraded a quarterback. Jack Cohn's out with injury. I think Graham Mertz, his replacement, has a higher upside. And I'm just not buying Illinois. They kind of faked their way to a bowl eligibility last year. I'll take Wisconsin here, just a slight lean, though.
All right, yeah, that was 24-23 last year in Champaign. Illinois won that game. Wisconsin was 6-0 at the time. I'm with you. I agree. I think the Fighting Illini were kind of fluky last year, and you saw that at the end of the year when they got beat by Northwestern 29-10 and played pretty poorly at the end of the season. Brad, how about another one in the Big Ten, Michigan and Minnesota? You put out this chart on Twitter. You can check it out on the screen here or at Brad Powers 7. Since 2006, Michigan is 1-20 on the road versus ranked teams, losing by an average of 15 points per game and 6-15 against the spread, failing to cover by 8 points per game. Jim Harbaugh on the road this week, 3 or 3.5 point favorite at Minnesota. Gophers off an 11-win season for P.J. Fleck. They got Rashad Bateman, star wide receiver, back. Tanner Morgan at quarterback. Why are the Wolverines favored, and who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to take Minnesota. Not a big bet, but I think Michigan is favored here because, you know, P.J. Fleck, the Minnesota head coach, kind of hinted in an earlier press conference this week that there might be some COVID issues for Minnesota. So that's why, in my opinion, Michigan's taking a little bit of money. So I'm going to lean Gophers, but I actually prefer the under just because I don't think the market fully grasps how cold and blustery it's going to be in Minnesota on Saturday night. I think it's kind of an old school type of Big Ten game. First start for a Michigan quarterback. They'll be conservative. Minnesota lost their offensive coordinator. I think they'll be a little slow out of the gate. So under is my preference for it, yeah. Under 54.
Okay. Under 54 and a half. I don't know if 55 is still out there, but it's going to be temperatures in the high 20s. And I think it's going to be windy in Minneapolis in that game. And I know another friend of mine who's big into Big Ten football likes this game under the total.
I got it under, too. Yeah. I bet it under. I bet Minnesota. I match here with Brad. And, you know, Minnesota, certainly some questions. They lost a lot of talent on that on the defensive side of the ball. We're not sure how they're going to replace that. But, you know, Brad mentioned, I'm not sure how efficient this Michigan offense is going to be with a new quarterback. So I kind of have my doubts there. That's what I'm betting against this Michigan offense.
I'm on Minnesota as well. I got 3.5 in that game. Let's go to Notre Dame and Pitt. I was actually against the Irish last week, Brad, taking 17 with Louisville. How about a 12-7 game in South Bend? Notre Dame, now this number's come down a little bit. Circa opened at 8. It jumped up to, I think, around 12. Now it's basically Notre Dame minus 9.5 or 10. Low total in this one, too, 42.5. And you put this on Twitter about the Irish being overrated. Your projected point spreads on a neutral: Clemson 17 over Notre Dame, Alabama 14.5, Ohio State 14.5, Georgia minus 8. Notre Dame a top 5 team as we speak today, at least in the rankings. And they've had a lot of problems, Brad, with Ian Book igniting that passing game. 106 yards passing last week. And Pitt, I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to play here. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I think it's going to be Joey Yellen again for Pitt. And I don't think he's a downgrade, but I don't think he's a significant downgrade from Kenny Pickett. And that's where some of the value I see in Pitt in this matchup, among other things. The other thing I see is I think Pitt can neutralize Notre Dame's run game. I mean, Pitt's defensive line, in my opinion, is one of the best in the country. They're only allowing 62 rushing yards per game. So this is the best defense Notre Dame's offense has seen, and a Notre Dame offense has struggled, especially like you mentioned in the passing game. I think Pitt can match up with the Notre Dame wide receivers man-to-man. So to me, Pitt was one of my favorite plays of the week. I know the money's come in on Pitt, so I agree with that move there. Historically, Pitt plays Notre Dame really tough, 10 of the last 12 meetings decided by 8 points or less. And Pitt historically under Pat Narduzzi, who's not one of my favorite coaches, but usually one time a year, usually in a, you know, against a highly ranked team, they step up and play their best game of the season. That's what I think we'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, Pitt's 3-3 with a couple of 1-point losses, and then that 12-point loss at Miami last week with Joey Yellen at quarterback. What about the team Notre Dame beat last week? Louisville was on a 3-game road trip. Now comes home as a 4 or 4.5-point favorite over Florida State, which got a wild win, an upset over North Carolina a week ago. Did you have an opinion on Florida State-Louisville?
You know, I disagree with the market move here. I am going to take Louisville minus the 4. I mean, let's just compare lines. Both teams just got done playing at Notre Dame the last 2 weeks. Florida State was plus 21, covered the number. Louisville was plus 17. In fact, that line closed like 15.5, and Louisville covered the number and only lost by 5. They're at home. I think Florida State's getting, you know, too much love in the marketplace after the big win over North Carolina last week. I like the Cardinals to break the losing streak. They cover the 4 here.
Good to hear you say that, because that's the way I was thinking about that game as well. All right, let's go to a lot of people like this hot dog in the Big Ten this week. Are you as fired up about Indiana as a 6 or 6.5-point home dog to Penn State? That number's come down from the Circa opener, too.
I lean that way. I need a 7 if I'm going to play it as far as where I think some value is. You know, obviously I'm worried about Penn State losing Micah Parsons. Breaking news this week, Journey Brown, the running back, may miss the season. You know, Indiana has competed well with Penn State the last 2 years, losing by 5 and 7 points. Penn State has the Buckeyes on deck, so I don't know if they show everything in this game, although they might have to, considering it's a short spread. Mm-hmm. I do lean with Indiana. It's not a bet for me because there's a couple things that on the coaching staff I'm worried about. Indiana lost their offensive coordinator, who's now the Fresno State head coach. They lost their strength and conditioning staff. Nick Saban hired them. So that, to me, that could be a big loss, especially in a COVID 2020 season.
Good points. What about, I liked Purdue getting 3.5 or 4 against Iowa. Circa opened that Purdue minus 2. But obviously since then, Jeff Brohm, the coach, has been ruled out with COVID. Rondale Moore, it's reported today, is not going to play. Does that change the way you look at that game?
It does. I mean, Brom's the play caller. So, I mean, his brother Brian's going to be the coach here and call the plays. A little bit of a downgrade just from experience in itself. And then Rondell Moore. I mean, I think Purdue's a play-on team this year. Just don't think this is the game to do it. And I tweeted this out. Iowa's remarkably consistent. This is stunning. Iowa's 21-0 straight up the last 21 times they've been laying in points on the road, and they're 17-3-1 against the spread in those games. So I lean Hawkeyes here.
All right, Iowa at Purdue tomorrow, another in the Big Ten. Cincinnati and SMU, let's go to that. Mustangs 2.5-point home favorites over Luke Fickell and the Bearcats, total of 55.5. Do you have an opinion on that one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously money's come in on SMU. I'm waiting to see if I can catch Cincinnati plus +3. Uh-huh. Issues with COVID for Cincinnati, so I understood the original move there. But, I mean, if you're going to give me – hopefully it can move to 3 with a better defense. I haven't been overwhelmed with the SMU so far this season, even though they're 5-0. So I'm looking to bet Cincinnati tomorrow if the line climbs.
I know you like to bet circa openers. Have you got the best of a lot of numbers this week on the College Board, Brad?
You know what I did? You know, we talked about Iowa, Purdue. I did take Iowa plus +1. It's one of my bets that I got in. A couple totals that have moved pretty significantly. Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Got that one at like 58.5. I think it's down to 52. Mm-hmm. You know, one that went off the board. I took New Mexico plus +20. I'm not buying Colorado State this year. I know New Mexico had some COVID issues, but that was a missed opportunity with that game getting canceled, in my opinion. So, yeah, a few of them. Although I'll say this, lines are getting a little tighter at circa, as you would expect as the season moves along.
Sure. You mentioned that Iowa State-Oklahoma State game. Cowboys minus -3. It looks like Iowa State's been taking some money here the past 24 hours. Did you play a side there?
I did. I got Iowa State plus the 3.5. And thinking behind it is this. I just think Oklahoma State, number 6 in the AP poll, overrated on a neutral field. I would favor Iowa State, who I've been impressed with after their opening loss. I think the market threw them in the trash after they got upset by Louisiana. Oklahoma State, I mean, other than West Virginia, I mean, Tulsa, Kansas, and they haven't played in 3 weeks. I'm just not overly impressed with their resume. Matt Campbell as a dog is as good as it gets in college football the last 5 years as far as head coaches in the underdog role. So I think the Cyclones not only cover, they win outright.
All right, and last one I'll throw at you is back to the Big Ten. We got about a minute left. Maryland and Northwestern. How bad are the Terps going to be under Mike Loxley? Do you think the Purple Cats bounce back here? Northwestern, an 11-point favorite. Looks like a coaching mismatch here, but is that too big of a number to lay with Northwestern?
Yeah, I laid on the circa minus -8. Feel comfortable with that bet, but once you get into double digits with Northwestern, I mean, they're 5-14 against the spread as a double-digit favorite. Concerned, I think the best bet right now, take the under. I don't see Maryland having much success with a new quarterback, and vice versa with Northwestern. Under would be the play for me.
Total 53.5. Northwestern scored 10 points or fewer in 6 of its 12 Big Ten games last season. Peyton Ramsey, Indiana transfer, the new quarterback for Northwestern. Brad, great information, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time at Brad Powers 7.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Brad Powers, very sharp in college football, and he bets those circa openers Sunday morning when they pop up at 11 a.m. We're going to take a break here on My Guys in the Desert. We come back second hour. We're going to have VSIN Vinny, Brent Musburger, and the Mad Dog, NFL Best Bets, and James Alberino steps in to analyze some more NFL.